KFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, episode number 276, recorded February 10th, 2018, not 17, like the last time I tried to say 17, not 18. I am your host, Ron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
Christian Russell, a.k.a. Hello. Chip Chase.
What?
Because you just look identity. You look just like Chip Chase, wheelchair and all.
Sure.
It's like that Progressive commercial. Hey, we look just alike.
Sure, why not?
Also with us this evening is Michael Swift.
What's up, everybody?
I apologize to everybody who's watching the live feed. We tried twice, and apparently my internet tonight is utter shit, so I'm having to pre-record this, and we are putting it up later. And I apologize immensely, but thank you, Spectrum, because my internet connection was just not cooperating. But hopefully we will get this one through, and it will look fine and dandy. And
put a new hamster in the wheel.
Yeah. But I am working steadily on trying to get a new computer, and hopefully that will help things. But I think tonight the internet was the culprit because it was just very, very slow. And I'm hardwired, so it's not like Wi-Fi was interfering. There's nobody else in the house that's on on the internet, so it's just crappy internet. Yeah, complain to Spectrum. Not me. Anyway, tonight our special topic is comic versus toon versus toy. I mix all that up all the time and say it in a different way each time. But I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. Mainly in Masterpiece lately. The first few releases of Masterpiece started out with a mixture of original cartoon inflection, but more detailed especially in the vehicle modes, a more detailed look. Now, like with MP36, Megatron, MP39, Sunstreaker, heavily cartoon-esque in their appearance. The Beast Wars, the Primal, the Cheetor, and the... Getting feedback. Yes. I can hear feedback.
Can you still hear it?
Yes.
I just unmuted my mic.
It's gone.
It doesn't even seem to be picking me up.
I don't know why. But anyway, the Primal, the Cheetor, and the upcoming Dinobot, very heavily influenced by the original show. The toys are looking like they're just ripped right out of the cartoon. Third parties, much like this X-Transbot's Andross, looks like the G1 Scourge, pretty much ripped right out of the cartoon. Just absolutely gorgeous toy. And a lot of people are huge fans of the look. I have to admit, I am. I personally lean very heavily to the cartoon aesthetic. Although I see arguments where people would argue against the cartoon aesthetic, especially when you're referring to the G1 cartoon, because animation errors galore. You know, how many Optimus Primes with no mouthpieces, Autobot Soundwave, you know, scale.
Scale? What's that?
Something that should never be spoken of in Transformers.
Cool.
But a good example in the Generations line, or as it were, for example, Combiner Wars, you had the Aerial Bots that were very heavily inspired by the original cartoon. You know, Slingshot, the May Mayhem figure in Combiner Wars for the Aerial Bots, had a very cartoon look in the face. The overall design of the toy resembled the cartoon, although, you know, Air Raid had cues from the toy. But I think those figures were very... They were a mix of toy and cartoon, but more leaning more toward cartoon, in my opinion. Then you have the Power of the Primes, like the Dinobots, for example. The Dinobots have a very toy, G1 toy-inspired look to them, with the clear plastic seeing through to the golden bits underneath. Very, very much a nod to the original toy aesthetic, while maintaining a cartoon-esque in the robot forms, but they still have that very toy, toy-centric appeal to them. Tonight, we're going to be talking about that, what makes each aesthetic popular, what our favorite things are. I also have some video that I recorded earlier today on the at the Kentucky meetup in Louisville, Kentucky. Several of us met at Boom Boss Pizza on Hurstbourne Parkway, and I interviewed several of us there and asked, what's your favorite look in the designs of the toys coming up? Christian, whenever it comes to toy, the appearance of a toy, what's your preference and why?
Well, I came prepared to talk about Masterpiece only. But when you mentioned the Aerial Bots and the Dino Bots, I thought about reconsidering my answer. But then I realized it was the same. So what I would like from classic characters is to start by making the alt mode as realistic as possible, then transform it into a character that looks as close to the cartoon as possible without getting rid of those realistic details. And then, if there's room, Easter eggs from the comic.
Hmm. So you like a meld of all three.
I do, but it's more like I prefer the way Sideswipe was in Masterpiece than Inferno was in Masterpiece, because Inferno lost all the realistic details.
Yeah, he's like the flat panel.
Yeah, I hate it. I can't stand it. It looks awful. But Sideswipe looks good, because it looks like a licensed vehicle. And then you transform it into the character from the cartoon, and he looks almost exactly like he was in the cartoon, but brought into real life.
You know, and that's part of the reason, for example, the Make Toys in Hellfire. The reason I held on to it is because it has the very cartoon look in robot form. It's got the chunky proportions,
yep.
But it has the high detail that carries over from the vehicle form.
I know there are people who are big fans of Masterpiece Inferno who just want rip the 2D design off the screen and put it on a toy. That's Inferno, but that's not for me.
Well, there are great things about that particular toy. For example, the way the ladder folds up in his back. It's ingenious.
I'll give it that.
Especially, and Grapple is the same way, Artfire. But whenever it comes to robot detail, there's just not much there.
No. And at that price point, that was unacceptable to me. I sold it in a day, 2 days maybe. But I didn't feel the same way about the Beast Wars masterpieces. When I got Primal and She-Lor, I was like, wow, I'm really glad these guys look exactly like they came off the screen. But maybe it's because they had three-dimensional designs that were already rendered and looked real-ish.
Yeah.
I think it depends on what media a character has had. Because I'm sort of like, I kind of agree when it comes to like G1 characters. An Optimus that somehow captures cartoon, comic, whatever else, all in one, is more appealing to me than something that captures just the one or the other. But then Beast Wars, it really only ever had the cartoon. There was no comics for it.
Or anything except like for that. The Dreamwave, so it looking like it's count.
Walked out of the cartoon is great to me.
That's a good point. I think that's how I feel too.
How about you, Don?
Well, y'all both touched on things that I was thinking about myself, because I think for me, it's like what you were saying, the way the character looks, he or she needs to be represented in the media that they're from. It's like you need Drift to look like Drift from the comics, because if he doesn't look like Drift from the comics, he's not Drift.
Right.
You know, there's that. Just to use a more recent example. So like Optimus Primal, because he does look like, as you said, Michael, he just steps right off the screen. Him and Cheetor. Well, Cheetor's beast mode notwithstanding, but the robot mode, I mean, it looks like what you would expect to see stepping out of the screen. But,
well, you also can't forget about Masterpiece Dinobot that turns into a Velociraptor.
I've come to accept that to get the perfect robot mode and the Masterpiece Beast Wars line, I'm going to have crappy beast forms.
Yeah, it's something you're going to. But I mean,
they're not that bad.
Yeah, it's
no. Really, I mean, like, but I mean, at least with Dinobot, they are not covering it up, because with Cheetor, if you go back and look all the promotion images before Cheetor was ever released, they always took it at every angle that didn't show the gaps and like the robot bits sticking out. And so it was like, oh, it looks so great. And then I got it and I'm like, I can't hide the parts of his arm that are inside of his torso. There's just big old gaps there that I can't do anything about it. What is this?
And that's one thing, and just as a quick side note, that's one thing that I really don't like what they're doing with Takara's photography, is it's just, not only is stuff not being shown, but what's being shown, like Iron, we saw the first pictures of Ironhide. Remember how crappy those first pictures looked?
Bad.
So that doesn't hurt either, help either. But also the fact that you're going to have evergreen characters, that Optimus, Megatron, Starscream, Bumblebee, you know, which is this new Authentics line coming out. You've got, you know, those are basically your four core that the average casual fan, they know who these are. You know, they might know who Soundwave is, or they might know so and so. But I mean, those are the four big ones, and you want them represented and the line they're currently in, obviously. So, you know, whatever, like Robots in Disguise. Bumblebee looked like Bumblebee from Robots in Disguise. It looked like the toy on the show for the most part. But when you get to these evergreen characters, that's when you can start doing a little differences. Like, for example, I'm using third party. Stryker Manus, Rider Megatron, and Stryker Noir. Those are some very anime-styled Optimus, Nemesis Prime, and Megatron. And you can have this different flavor. Basically something like, let's take Mighty Orbots, but do Transformers. And you get these really great-looking designs, these anime-style designs, but you still recognize it being Optimus and Megatron and so forth. So I think as long as the character is represented in the media they're best known for, that's the important thing. And then other lines or other manufacturers can do these different takes. But if you've got a comic book or you've got a series and they put out a toy that doesn't look anything like the way the characters portrayed. This is my example, Rescue Bots. I liked Rescue. I watched Rescue Bots all four seasons. I liked Rescue Bots. It was a fun little show. It had some drama, but it came from the rescues, not the battles, which is what they were. The main goal was. But the toys, I have one Rescue Bot, and that's Quick Shadow, because she was voiced by the same person who was River Song on Doctor Who. That's kind of why I have her. Spoilers, but I want Rescue Bot toys that look like the show. Now, we may not get one that can triple tank like Heat Wave. We may not get one that can do fire truck, fire boat, dinosaur, and robot all in one. But we could get eventually get Heat Wave in all those in a generation style figure that would look like the show. That's why I didn't buy any more Rescue Bots, is they just, and again, I know the target audience, but I think that's a big misstep on the part of Hasbro and Takara, is not giving these characters more show accurate figures. But with the new show coming up, Rescue Bots Academy, maybe that'll change a little, but I'm not really holding out hope. But that's what I think.
I was always really surprised by Hasbro's decision never to have the Rescue Bot characters have an appearance in like Prime or even in the RID.
But RID,
because they're supposed to all be in the same universe.
Right. But RID did appear in the Rescue Bot show, although in their RID body designs. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you know, and again, this is part of it, if you notice, nowhere in Rescue Bots do you ever hear the word Decepticon. The Decepticon, you know, other than maybe one or two mentions, but it's never around the humans. So they're keeping that part aspect out of the, and maybe that has something to do with the toys. You didn't want to have, that's why you had Tim Curry's Dr. Morbot or Dr. Morocco, because it's Tim Curry. It was fabulous anyway, but. You know, so yeah, as long as the character is accurately portrayed in the media they're from, I think that's the most important thing. But when you get characters like the main ones, then you can do variants for other looks, like Optimus as he looks as Orion Pax or whatever the case may be.
Well, what if we'd gotten a Masterpiece Soundwave that looks like Soundwave from the G1 comic? Purple Wave?
Yeah, yeah, like,
well,
like
that was
three or four different shades of purple.
Yeah. Well, again, that's like coloring issues. I mean, because it was just the way the ink and stuff. But yeah, I get what you know, or maybe we could get like, I don't know, Jetfire with a Decepticon, you know, like a switchable symbol or something, you know.
I do switchable symbol. That'd be great.
Well, actually, doesn't Skyfire Fans Toys? Yeah, Skyfire, Phoenix. he's got two different panels you can swap out.
Put on there. Yeah.
That's what I like about that. Now, in Transformers, back in the 80s, we as fans and collectors, even back then, cartoon accuracy was always a topic of discussion. Even back in 84, whenever the first cars and trucks and, you know, cassette decks and guns and everything came out, we would play with these toys. And I remember my friends and I, we would be like, you know, Megatron, yeah, he turns into the gun that you see on the cartoon, but in robot form, he barely looks like he does in the cartoon. I mean, his hips are widespread. He's short and stumpy. The gun barrel is off on his hips, not on his back. You know, the scope, which forms his arm cannon in robot mode, is flipping huge compared to the robot himself. You know, and that's all because of, you know, his gun mode. And then you've got Ironhide and Ratchet, you know, they look nothing like they did in the cartoon. And a large part of that is because those toys, I think, came where they came from Microman and Diaclone. The cartoon came later, so that's not really an argument. You know, I was going to go down that road. Well, you know, the cartoon came first, but no, the toys did come first. So yeah. You can't use that argument. They had the toys to base them on, but I think they just drew them in the cartoon to make them more relatable, kind of like Michael Bay did in the live action movies. And I hate referencing this, but in the live action movies, they look like they're more humanoid looking in the robot forms to make them more relatable to a general audience. And I think that's part of the reason why the original cartoon, they were drew the way they were drawn, or drawn the way they're drawn. Yeah. Speaking, it is hard. But, you know, even back then, we were talking about cartoon accuracy. And then whenever the 86 movie came out and we got into season 3, some of the toys started looking a lot more like the cartoon did. You know, Cyclonus had the bunny ears, and, you know, Scourge had, you know, even though he's blocky, he had the sweeping wings and everything. You know, Rodimus Prime, you know, had their specific looks. But then you had Galvatron, that was completely different color and toy form. I really can't explain that, you know, because the toys generally come first. So I don't, outside of the relatability, I don't understand why they would change color on a character, you know, in Galvatron, for example. And like in Soundwave, I think in the comics, like you were talking, was more of an ink issue as opposed to a color choice.
Well, they had a lot of blue characters. They didn't want another blue character. So Soundwave's got to be purple.
So, you know, even back in the day, we were talking about cartoon accuracy. It wasn't until, I guess, animated was the first true to cartoon accurate toys that we really ever got. I mean, we had some redos of toys in Generations.
I'd say Energon and Cybertron, really. Those were rendered straight from the toys.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I didn't think of that.
You can go as far as the original RID, but that's a yes and a no there, because it's not 100%. Like,
there was some cartoony aspects done, especially like the Beast guys, you know, Gaskunk and Darkscream, and they were more cartoony looking than their.
Well, like the Spy Changers were definitely.
Oh yeah.
You know, much different.
but
then Optimus, like, and the brothers were. Yeah.
So that was even a hodgepodge.
Team Bullet
then.
Train looked very accurate to the toys.
So it's always been an issue whenever Transformers is being spoken of. You know, we could go into the whole scale issue, but whenever we talk Transformers, scale really, you know, every time somebody mentions it, and this happened on Facebook in one of the groups that I'm a part of the other day, somebody mentioned scale in Transformers, and I just went yawn, because you're never going to have a proper scale because of the way some of these characters are. We don't have real mass shifting, so we can't make a small character turn into a big robot the way it did in the media. Or
I'm still holding hope to an animated Omega Supreme, even if it's from a third party source, and I definitely don't want that to scale.
Yeah. Because that would be enormous.
Enormous.
Well, I mean, you know, we've already got Fans Toys Terminus Diganicus. We've got DX9's Gabriel coming out. We have Wajang's Omega that has an actual motorized tank.
But not animated, like Transformers animated.
I know. But I'm saying these big scale figures do apparently sell because they're being done.
They can do it.
And I have to admit, and you know, Fans Toys Terminus Giganticus is probably the top end of where I, as big as I would go. With one exception, there is one exception I would accept if it was bigger than any other toy that we ever got. Can anybody guess?
Unicron. Supreme Class Cheetor.
No.
A Unicron.
A third party Supreme Class Cheetor. If we got a Unicron, for example, if it came from Fans Toys and they shipped it in four parts, I'd go for it. It would be absolutely enormous. But it's Unicron. It's supposed to be huge. I would want it to tower over everything I have, including Terminus Giganticus.
Yeah. I could go for that.
That would be the one exception. But if they released it in more city bots, they would need to be about Terminus Giganticus size. Because if you get any bigger than that, it really...
Where does it go?
Rough, because I've never seen the figure, but roughly, what's its size compared to like the Generations Fort Max?
You have Detolfs behind you. My Terminus Giganticus, it takes remove a Detolf shelf and stand him on. I've got mine on the middle shelf. Remove the top shelf, and he comes about 3.5 inches from touching the top of the Detolf.
That's a big toy.
Standing next to Fort Max, the Generations, or I'm sorry, Titan Returns Fort Max, I would say Fort Max's head comes to the top of Giganticus's head, but then his wings, Giganticus's wings, span up another 4 or 5 inches. Maybe three. I'm guessing four, just glancing up at it. So he towers over everything. Weighs in at a hefty 11 pounds.
What? Yeah, so when it comes to like scale stuff, for sure, like five Supreme Class Generations figures in, I'm like, if they release any more of these, I don't have anywhere to put them. So yeah,
and you might be asking, you know, what does size have to do with toy versus cartoon versus comic? It has a lot to do with it, because whenever you're trying to represent, for example, the cartoon, and that's largely what a lot of our homages lean towards. Whenever you try to homage the cartoon, or any medium for that matter, you're going to want to have a standard. You know, how big is this character? And whenever you're representing the cartoon, you know, and to represent it accurately, you want it to be a certain size. For example, Titan Devastator. Everybody wanted Devastator to be the biggest, the big combiner, and he is.
I didn't.
Darn, I wanted to. One thing I was thinking when you were talking about that is that one thing we're going to run into is no matter if you want comic or if you want cartoon or if you want toy, whatever the case may be, one thing we're going to always have to remember is that there's always going to be something better no matter which one you pick. Because look at when Universe first came out with Sideswipe and, you know, that first wave. We thought, this is it. These are brand new versions. This is as good as it's going to get. Then we get Masterpiece. This is as good as we're going to get with Sideswipe. Then we get an anime version of Sideswipe, which is even closer in some degrees with the resculpted heads. So... And eventually all this stuff is going to cycle back on itself. People are going to look at in 5 years down the road, okay, this Sideswipe is old now. Let's see what we can do with current technology to make it even better.
We're already talking about placeholders, right?
Yeah. Well, that's true, the placeholder thing. But the only way you're ever going to have the best version of your character or your toy is to try and travel ahead right before you die. buy whatever the last toy they did of that character, time travel back, and you're going to have the best character. Yeah, you know that's the way you're going to get the best character.
And
it's always going to be evolving.
Let's look at exactly what makes your preference in this argument: toy versus toon versus comic. You know, growing up, I played with the toys. They were my thing. And I watched the cartoon. I wish that they looked like the cartoon, but I didn't mind it. They were the toys. They were fun to play with. Now, as an adult, I don't necessarily play with the toys. You know, I'll get them down and mess with them. I guess that would be considered playing with them. But I don't, you know, have little play battles. I don't so much worry about the play value of them. I want them to look right. And my medium of preference is the cartoon, because like we've spoken about in previous episodes of TFYLP, I lean toward the cartoon as my canon of choice, because as I was growing up, even though I read the Marvel comics, the cartoon resonated more with me. I watched the cartoon daily. It was what characterized those characters for me. So as an adult, whenever I want the best, quote unquote, the best version of a character, you know, like, you know, this is the best Scourge out there. I don't care what people say about X-Transbots. X-Transbots Andross is the best Scourge out there. There's nobody else that has a Scourge. My opinion, Fans Toys Sovereign is the best Galvatron out there. You know, that being said, DX9's Tyrant is a very close second. It has some appearance issues that, like the feet, I didn't care for the feet on it, but overall, it was a very nice looking toy. And I want my characters to look as much like the original cartoon as possible. Now, like I alluded to earlier on, I understand that whenever you talk about, I want it to look like the cartoon, I understand the original cartoon was very rife with animation errors. But for the general appearance of a character in the cartoon, that's what I'm speaking of. You know, Optimus Prime, in general, always looked a certain way. You know, Megatron always looked a certain way. You know, there might be scenes where he might be colored wrong, or, you know, he might have Starscream's head and everything like that. That's fewer and far between. But whenever I think of a character, I want that version of it. Now, if I understand there's some people, especially in the UK, they grew up, the UK was the comics were very, very, very heavily influencing over there. And I understand that a lot of people there prefer the comic look. Now, I'm not saying everybody does, but I find that a lot of people over there like the comic appearance. Although we don't have very many toys, and this is interesting, we don't have very many toys, if any, that reference the original Marvel comic appearance of Transformers. If they reference a comic, it's usually the IDW version. Have you noticed that?
There's one. There's one. It's an Easter egg, like I was talking about earlier. Universe 2 Ratchet's license plate.
Help me.
Help us.
Or help us, yes. Yes. So there are, you know, little
but there nods is a G2 comic book character.
Yes. Yeah. Masterpiece Sideswipe, G2 Sideswipe. Mm-hmm. Which you can get an upgrade set that makes him look even more like that with the bandolier.
It's worth it.
Yeah. So, Michael, whenever you're talking about aesthetics, you know, I know you said earlier that Beast Wars cartoon, the television show, was what influenced you more. You want your characters to be more inspired by that Can you expound on that some more?
Well, yeah, I mean, so a lot of the media that I grew up with, I mean, Beast Wars, R.I.D., they didn't have comic books. I mean, it was just show. So, I mean, my preference is, I mean, there's really not much of a preference there. It leans show because that was the only media. Though, like, I absolutely love the Optimus that came out that looks like the toy, and it came with the stuff to make it look like the toy. That, I mean, it's fantastic. And I,
mutant face, all that.
I am, like, love super it. Hyped for Shadow Panther, because he's come with the mutant face and all that stuff just like that. So, like, I love the toys as well. But, I mean, with the original Beast Wars line, I was never like, I wish this looked more like the show, because they were close enough approximations that it never really occurred to me how different they were. Especially once you got to Fusors and Transmetals, they were nearly identical.
Because at that point, weren't the studio and Hasbro working even more in tandem with the appearances? Because I know whenever Beast Wars first started, there was like a lag between Hasbro and the studio, so that's why some of the characters didn't appear as.
Because if you read a lot of the first 2 years of Beast Wars figures, which is all the, non-Transmetals stuff, everything before Transmetals, a lot of the bios are very have nothing to do with the show. Some of the characters are even portrayed very differently, like Waspinator. He's like, in his bio, he was portrayed more like a Starscream type than he was the goofball that he was in the show.
And then in the show, he was actually possessed by Starscream.
Yeah. But, it wasn't
much like another character.
It wasn't until that second season that they sort of lined up with each other, and then the bios on the back of the card were very close to what was happening in the show. Not 100%, but it was close enough. So for me, when it at least comes to like my Beast Wars collection, I mean, the movie or the masterpiece stuff that's coming out that looks straight like the 3D models is absolutely fantastic. But at the same time, if I got something that like a Razor Beast that looked like he does from the IDW comic, I'd be ecstatic. But that's like a very small chunk of Beast Wars history, is those IDW comics that came out at this point. What was that? I don't know. 12 years ago or something like that?
Or more. I'd say it's probably closer to 15.
2006.
It was the
2006. Oh, was it 2006?
Yeah.
Because they packaged it with the 10th anniversary.
I was thinking of the Dreamwave comics that they released. Wasn't it like 2002 or so?
So they only ever released
the summer special thing.
Yeah, the summer special, and that was because there was a vote for whether you wanted them to do a Beast Wars comic, an R.I.D. comic, and I can't remember what the third one was.
It might have been just those two.
I voted for R.I.D.
I did too.
Don, why am I not surprised?
You know, at the time, it would have been a hard vote for a young Michael Swift, because I loved both of them quite a bit.
Do you have a leaning now more one way or the other, or do you still love them equally?
I mean, now it's just like heavily Beast Wars. I love R.I.D., but
because it's like it's your G1.
Yeah, so I mean, my goal, like, Beast Wars, I'm going to focus on that first, and then You know, I'll go into R.I.D. after that, but there's a lot in the R.I.D. toy line that's just like meh. Like I don't feel very strongly for the G1 molds or anything, even though I think I own like three different versions of Ruination. Like when this set came out, like I had to get it because it was like, oh, this is gonna look awesome with all incredible. The RID figures that
you're holding up the tiny little combiner. United's Baldigus is what he was holding up for the audio listeners.
Oh yeah, sorry about that. But then I mostly prefer the show because my three big collections when it comes to Transformers is Beast Wars, RID, and Animated, which all really were just show properties. They didn't have anything else. But I have to say, like, every time something comes out with a hint of comic to it, like there was the subscription service Thunderwing, and its combined mode had that very comic book looking face.
Yeah,
I was like, I loved it because it just looked like it jumped right out of a comic. And I think it's mostly just because they don't do it enough. Like, I feel like with the Masterpiece figures, they have been coming out with so many accessories for these guys that, like, why haven't they started throwing in, like, a little bit of, you know, comic book stuff? Like, Megatron, if he had a black helmet, like, it wouldn't be perfect.
I'm surprised there's not more comic influence on some of the toys today. You know, I know, for example, like the Little Legends Prime from several years back, they had the split chest. That was remolded into Huffer and Pipes.
Yeah.
You know, it was heavily based on the IDW incarnation of Optimus Prime. You know, he had the angled shoulders and the split level or the split windowed chest, revealing the Autobot symbol in the middle. That is very IDW comics. We don't get a whole lot of that anymore. RID Skybite in the Generations line had a very cartoon look to him, the way he was painted, but the way the toy was curved, much like the Cyber Shark RID Skybite mold from toys, the toy line way back when, you know, it had very heavy toy influences on it. So outside of the Masterpiece line, you don't see a whole lot of strictly one genre. You know, they pull from all kinds of genres.
You did for a very short time there when the IDW comics were being packaged inside of the figures.
You got
some that looked like they did in the IDW comic book, and like I know I collected kept a bunch of the ones that were, you know, main characters in like More Than Meets the Eye because I love that comic book. But they've mostly gotten away from that. Well, I guess the bigger thing now is that IDW is more just like was using what Hasbro was using and not the other way around.
Yeah. I'm going to take this time right now and I'm going to cut away to the interviews that I did earlier today at the Transformers Kentucky meetup here in Louisville. And let you guys watch that. And then whenever we come back, we'll finish up this topic of cartoon versus toy versus comic and what you think is the future of this. I'm going to cut away now, and we'll be back here.
Personally, I like the blend like we had in the early toys where it was some cartoon influence but more detailed, realistic, toy-inspired also.
I personally like the toys because I think that the cartoon looks a little bit more shittily and fucked up.
Or the comic in the cartoon.
So what makes you like the comics over the other aesthetics and the toys?
I kind of like the original and
fresh,
yeah.
I like the G1 comics so much, and the way Scorponok is portrayed in that, that I would want a comic version. Actually, I would like throwback comics, so it's cool that they're making the IDW, you know, our artists nowadays, but I would like, you know, Jeff Senior, people like that, to see throwback comic adaptations of some guys would be cool. I don't think you can sustain a line on it, but as far as like a guy that doesn't really buy a lot of third party, that would really get me interested. You know, somebody made an underbase looking Starscream, you know, something nutty like that, I'd be way into that. Or the way Power Master Optimus Prime looked, because he had a very specific way he was drawn. He had that weird, half a garbage can looking head. I don't know why that's so great. And when he's combined, it's like, that's nothing like the toy in my head. And I would sit there and draw it. Man, if someone made a toy that was, basically it would be a shirt pants combiner thing maybe with the trailer. Because he had no kibble, nowhere. It just attached at the waist of these big blue
so
legs.
So basically you want an Energon Power Master Optimus Prime.
Yeah, well, kind of. But anything that would look like something from the U.S. Marvel G1 run, or even U.K., whatever, because I'm big into that now, I would really like that. But if you're saying what's your vote on a Masterpiece in general, just pick a lane. Don't go back and forth from animated to toy to what, you know what I'm saying? That's all. Just be consistent. All
right.
So. I'm all about the original G1 cartoons, so that looks like that.
Okay, it's animated,
so I wish I could see some love for Mainframe and Red, who do Action Masters and never had an actual Transformer toy. I would love to see that.
What do you like best, the toy, cartoon, or comic aesthetic in the Masterpiece line?
Masterpiece line? Character by character, when it came to Megatron, I like his IDW backstory and even motivation and that kind of stuff. I mean, the writings that they have in IDW are really cool, but I'm always going to be the show. It's going to be the number one thing that I want. That's first and foremost, even to the point where, like, the movie of 86 is going to be, like, the main image that I want you to capture. It's scene by scene. It's moments that I want captured. But I'd say show number one, IDW second. I don't know old comics very well, so I wouldn't know that one.
I like to
see
them go the original G1 form, like the Masterpiece, the way they're going now for the original show look animated. I did at first like the more real world look, but I've always wanted them to do an original G1 cartoon straight up version of every character. At least the G1 first season is the original one.
All right, we're back, and you know, the lovely of video editing. you know, it's actually been a few seconds for us, but it's been several minutes for you viewers and listeners.
It's magic.
Magic. But what do you think, Don? What do you think is the future of toy aesthetic? Is it are future toys going to be strictly show oriented, or do you think we're going to see more melds or original designs?
I think it's really going to depend on what show's currently running, the budgetary concerns at the time for Hasbro, resources, oil, and all that kind of stuff. And also, they're looking at possible repaint potentials from Takara and Hasbro. And the reason I'm saying that is because during Generations, they made the toys with repaints in mind, with extra heads like Perceptor head, the Reflector head that we never really got, at least on that body anyway. And with Masterpiece, we're seeing them doing cartoon, you know, we're seeing like toy accurate colors. Then when they go back and do show accurate colors, if you look at the, even though Takara Legends line is a little iffy right now as being exclusive retailers. The Autobot clones were done in the animation with the pinks and the reds, versus ours was just the toy red and cream. So, yes, I know. So I think what they're going to be looking at, especially with, and this is going to sound bad, it's like, Michael, you're looking forward to Shadow Panther. For me, that is the easiest pass on a masterpiece figure probably of the entire line, because there's not enough there for me to double dip on that mold when I know some version of Tigertron will probably be coming, not the same mold exactly because of the structural differences between a cheetah and a tiger, but the same basic engineering and the same basic layout will be there. So I think we're going to be seeing, you know, more toy accurate and then repaints into anime accurate or vice versa. I think we're going to see, like, for example, the Inferno. I figure at some point we're going to see an Inferno that's more toy accurate, where they've added some of this detail, at least to the legs, to get it looking more toy accurate. See, Duran, you and I went with Hellfire and Grapple. And Wrestle. Because to us, that was more of the way the character should be, with the details of the fire truck on the legs and stuff. I didn't care for the super smooth look of Inferno. Yes, it was animation accurate, but it wasn't a very, it did not capture the spirit of that to me. Also the fact that, depending on what oil does, you know, they might go with the safe bet, you know, so you know, what's more popular with this character? Oh, it's the cartoon they came from. So we're going to get that. And then, maybe later, they might say, okay, we need to repaint. Well, we can do that one in a different look. So it's going to be a lot of variables, but I think we're going to see a lot of, and whether it's good or bad, you're going to be seeing a lot of things like the Optimus Primal repaint that we got not long after the first one came out. So you're going to be seeing different versions of these same characters with some nuanced differences. But it's like, it's like Sunsurge versus Sunstreaker. Is it worth paying the extra money to go from this as a placeholder to the real one when you just bought toy accurate Sideswipe and now they got anime accurate Sideswipe? They did the same thing with Red Alert. So you're going
all I'm going to say on that thought process is, where's my red Optimus Primal? Thank you.
Well, you know, I agree, but stuff like that, I think you'll be seeing as Wonderfest exclusives, you know,
store E-hobby.
Exclusive, E-Hobby.
I need Universe Colors Optimus Primal.
I was going to say that because that is such a weird looking Optimus Primal.
It's perfect.
Burning Convoy.
Any color that they paint that in, I'm gonna buy it.
Yeah, but okay, but this is what I'm gonna say as a finish up. It's gonna be a matter of, is what I'm seeing here now what I want? Or do I want to hope they do something better not long down the road and we get a more accurate Inferno or a more accurate Grapple? That's why I'm with Artfire. Artfire had no comic he might have had some manga inspirations there, but he had no actual cartoon. So I didn't mind the smooth look on him because the character really had no major representation other than just he was an Inferno recolor. Hmm. So that smoothness didn't really bother me on Artfire, but it did on Inferno and Grapple. It's just all of us as collectors are going to have to wait and see, okay, this is a nice version.
Take it on a piece-by-piece basis.
Exactly, because they could very well do in 6 months. In 6 months, we might get Grimlock Dinobot.
Well, what if sometime down the road we got, and maybe not just in, not in Masterpiece, but what if we got an entirely new line, much in the vein of Generations, But instead of going very comic inspired or very toy, I'm sorry, very cartoon inspired, what if they lean toward the original toy? Let's say if they bring back, you know, Generation 1 Optimus Prime, okay, he's going to look like the 79 Freightliner cab over, and he's going to look very much like the original toy, but he's going to have a whole lot more posability. You know, do you think they will ever do something like that, or do you think...
No.
See, at this point, I don't think you can ever say, oh, they're not going to do that. We're getting a Masterpiece Dinobot complete with magic powder to transform it, because apparently I still think magic is involved in some fashion with that figure. It may be black magic, but it's still magic nonetheless.
It's just that he's got a chest this thick if you look at him from the side.
But, oh, does he?
He's pretty wide.
Yeah. But. At this point, I wouldn't write it. I mean, I got her.
RC.
I got RC after 20 plus years of asking.
A headmaster RC at that.
Exactly. There is nothing that is off the table at this point, except maybe new KISS players. I was about to say KISS players. I don't think we're going to see that again. But you never know.
I doubt we'll ever get a manga Transmetals Air Razor.
No.
And if you've never seen it, look it up.
I'm afraid to look it up.
You should be.
Yeah, she and Silverbolt have a... he and Tigatron.
Well, so he's a he and their version of the cartoon, but in the they had a manga that... Air Razor was actually female.
Oh, okay.
And they accentuated parts?
A bit. It's still worse than what they're doing currently in, like, the United comics.
The Legends comics, yeah. It's about the same as that.
Yeah.
So, Christian, where do you see the line going? What do you see the future of aesthetic?
I think for generations or classics or whatever that becomes later, I think we'll continue to see a modernized amalgam of previous styles. And in Masterpiece, I think, depending on designer, it could go either way, with more figures like Inferno or more figures like Sunstreaker, who seems to be a return to form, or definitely the Beast Wars figures will continue to look like the cartoons.
Michael?
Yeah, I think Takara has sort of proven expressed and proven their intent with the Masterpiece line to focus pretty much on cartoon accuracy. Because like all the Masterpiece G1 stuff lately, Beast Wars, Masterpiece, it's all like slavish to the cartoons. But I agree with the thought on the Generations line and that we'll probably continue to see some sort of mash of all sorts of aspects. Right now, they sort of seem like they're focusing maybe on a little more like paying homage to the original toys while giving you a like super modernized version of it. At least in my opinion, that's how I felt with like the combiners and Prime Masters and all that stuff, Titan Masters. It seemed like they were sort of trying to be a little more toy than cartoon, but sort of accentuate both. So I think we'll just continue to see that with that line. And especially even more so now since Takara is supposedly not going to be retooling everything and repainting everything to try to unify the brand internationally.
I can see this going over like a fart in church, especially in the Master Priest line. You know, it's... Because that's been Takara's bread and butter for many, many years is the Masterpiece line and getting retools and stuff. I mean, Hasbro has imported very little of the Masterpiece line at this point.
You know, this could also be one gigantic smokescreen. They're saying they're not going to do it. They're going to do it in limited fashion. They're basically going to be upping up the demand on their own to make it not as prevalent. So people will be like, well, I want this. I want this because I don't know when I'm going to get it again. So basically they're making their own shortage of a sort of these better quote unquote figures. So it's,
well, I also wonder how much of that is to help prevent KOs. You know, the working more in sync with Hasbro. You know, you're not working on these external pieces. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. It's a thought.
Yeah.
You know, maybe cut down on KOs, and maybe some lead time. You know, these third parties putting out characters. You know, being first to market, as it were, on things.
It also could be the converse is that since that Takara is not doing these figures, third party may step in and say, okay, you're not getting Buster and Hydra, apparently. Here's our Buster and Hydra. And they'll say, okay, we'll go in and make these figures that, you know, here's your G2 Dinobots. Or whatever the case may be.
Still waiting for third party Darkwing and Dreadwind, aka also Buster and Hydra. I think I would double dip on both of those. If they did like a Masterpiece style of those. Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm talking dirty right now.
Well, their unified angle I thought only extended to like the Generations line and not necessarily Masterpiece. Like maybe Masterpiece movie. Because that's being sold internationally, like in the same boxes. But yeah, I thought it was mostly just the what we dubbed Generations line that they were talking about.
It's possible, but I have fears that it may extend to Masterpiece as well.
Well, because most of the Masterpiece stuff, like when was the last time a Masterpiece figure released in America that wasn't the new movie stuff?
The last Bumblebee original streak. Mold was probably Blue Streak, yeah. And that's been, what, at least 2 years, I think?
Yeah.
Since that happened, and that was what...
Like, they were so expensive.
MP17, I think, what it is, and we're on 39 now.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, America, or the Western market, is lagging way behind on Masterpieces. And now that there's a lot of Toys R Us's that are being shut down corporately, the avenue to bring those over here is shrinking, unless they offer it through Hasbro Toy Shop, which
or the unknown club.
I am absolutely perplexed why Hasbro does not offer those things through Hasbro Toy Shop. You know, Masterpieces. You know, just label them as adult collectibles, you know, just like they do in Toys R Us.
Well, Hasbro Toy Shop's not necessarily Hasbro, I thought.
Well, it's not, but I'm saying that's kind of like they bought their avenue. Rights to call themselves that, and it's short of having a collector's club, you know, that's been mentioned from time to time, you know, short of having that. It's the best way to get people to go to a website and pick this stuff up.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. But I was just thinking that's probably the one reason why maybe it hasn't happened. It's just the whatever, like, actually separates Hasbro from Hasbro Toy Shop. But
yeah. Well, I believe we've kind of talked this into the ground tonight. And I, again, apologize profusely for our technical issues that we had this evening. Hopefully this pre-recorded version is much better, and I will get it up as soon as I possibly can. You know, next week we'll try to go live again. All we can do is try. You know, that's as it is in the live video realm. You know, I don't understand how Twitch and all that stuff works. You know, people are able to stream live while they're also playing online. And it's like, I've done it for my PlayStation 4, and it's almost seamless. I mean, it's smooth. But yet, here we are trying to do a video podcast, and we're just sending out one signal, and it doesn't work.
Beastly computers, and the fastest internet you could possibly buy. And I know you have at least one of those.
Yeah, I've got the fastest internet I can get here. Well, I can go up 100 meg more, but it's not really necessary.
You have more than enough.
I have more than enough, but it's my computer. It's pushing 10 years old. So, you know, it's a mid-2010 model, which you figure they were first released probably late 2009, early 2010. We're getting there. I'm surprised it's able to kick as long as it has. But anyway, check out our Twitter at TFYLP. Also our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. Also our Patreon, patreon.com/TFYLP. If you love what we do, you can go on there and give us a little bit each month to help continue. It helps pay the internet bill. You know, matter of fact, day before yesterday, I paid the internet bill from our Patreon because I needed to pay some other things. So, you know, it helps this show keep going. And unfortunately tonight it failed, but that's not my problem.
It's a lot Spectrum.
Yeah.
Next time Gadget.
Yeah. I say that as someone who also suffers with Spectrum.
Well, it happens even whenever I'm playing online. I play Call of Duty almost religiously, and there's sometimes that I'll have a red ping on there, and I'm like, why? I have 200 meg internet. What is going on here? It's Spectrum.
Yep.
It's Spectrum. But anyway, check out tftalk.net, our host website, our main website. I try to keep it updated. I've started working on the news, get some new news up there. I'm going to be trying to work on revamping the photographs section where you can pull up high resolution photos of Transformers and third party toys, get some better content up there. But anything TFYLP, you can find it on tftalk.net. Please check it out today. If you love this show, please subscribe on our YouTube channel, on iTunes, however you consume this show. And we thank each and every one of you for your support. As everybody is standing here looking at me like, Duran, just shut up and end the show. I am going to end the show by dragging it out even farther. Good night, everybody. Sorry. We'll see you
night
next
time. Good night, everybody.
Week.
Take care. Bye. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yes. Buy loved one stuff and get laid. See ya.
Oh.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.